are back on the Big Daddy Radio Hour here on ESPN 1700 AM. You can catch us every Wednesday at 1 o'clock and enjoy the festivities that we have, because nothing means more to me or my host, Angie, Dr. Angie, than those listeners having a great time. We have a really great listener base. So thank you all for being so supportive, and all your comments have been so wonderful lately. It's been so nice not to be yelled at. Although, next week, we have an author coming on that I suggest everybody tune in and listen. He has a very interesting concept as to how America should be taking care of their people. And I think that will probably cause a little bit of contention, just in general. I know I don't necessarily agree with this in the book, and that's why he's going to come on and be a panelist. He's aware of what our feelings are, so...
Well, it'll be a lively conversation.
Good luck to him. So you can reach us at BigDaddyRadio.com via email, or you can call us at 619-399-3300. Mm-hmm. So part two, very exciting. We have Dr. Angie with us, as always, our host, along with me, and the amazingly talented Amy Scruggs, who we had the pleasure. Of seeing on Sunday evening.
So much fun.
At the Wounded Warrior Benefit. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
We're happy you're back. Definitely. You did an amazing job Sunday night. You really did. And your son Ryan, you rock it.
Thank you.
You rock it. You know, and then we have Aaron. See, I got it down, Aaron. Although Aaron's kicking back today on the couches. I don't know. We might have to get you over here.
So he's in here next to Ryan.
It's always exciting when you have a guest that really resonates with the audience and with us. And that's what we really are striving for. I wanted to let people know, again, we probably will have Tamara and Eddie on either the 16th or the 23rd from the Real Housewives of Orange County. Also, Cut Fitness is their business, which we will be discussing and focusing on. Among, who knows, whatever else, because they're such great people and so much fun to interview. But we're narrowing it down to the 16th or the 23rd. So one of those 2 days, they will be here. But I thought last week, you know, an hour goes by so quickly while we're doing the show. It just didn't give me what I felt like was the proper opportunity to really give Amy all the credit you deserve and to get more of your story. And a lot of what Angie and I have developed and are going to continue to develop is we're all about living and leading your authentic life. I know that sounds a little airy-fairy, but if you do that, you really find that your life becomes a lot less problematic.
More peaceful.
More real happier. You can be. Mm-hmm. You know that saying that, like, things work out? It's just been one of those years for me. Now my uncle's not doing well, so we have to take a red eye to Atlanta tonight.
Yeah.
And just, like...
Yeah.
Just come on. I want a break now. And, but you certainly are brightening up our day.
Well,
so
thank you
for being here. Ryan, you had fun on Sunday?
Oh, I had a blast.
And Wounded Warriors, our Wounded Warrior homes that Mia Roseberry is so integral in, just doing some really important work. I just really appreciate you guys getting. And Amy Scruggs has been a huge supporter of the troops for how many years now? We talked about it last week, but that's for those people who maybe didn't catch the show.
Yeah, really started doing a lot of that full-time about in 2009, I think, was when we really started stepping in for support for the troops. 2008, 2009, yeah.
And so you did your set on Sunday night. Now, I loved some of the covers you did, some of those songs. You did a good job.
Oh, they're great. They're I know, took us by surprise.
As a woman,
I'm sure that people are thinking, oh, great, a woman country singer that I'm going to stand up there and do ballads and you know, be sleepy. And I love showing that a woman can
rock.
And a mama, you know?
I like doing,
you know, I don't know if you guys noticed, they brought me up to the stage to Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was fun to put that element of surprise in there on the kind of stuff that I choose to sing.
So that kind of performance, I always step back, and I don't know, and Angela has an amazing voice too. It's just one of those things where you think about how many people are so talented and just that small number of people that actually get
the success,
record contract, yeah. Yeah. Or the X Factor, or whatever. And I'm not, mm-hmm. not referencing the show per se, but kind of what they're looking for. And it's unfortunate because you have all of the things I would think. I mean, you seem to
check all the boxes.
Yeah, you would meet all the criteria. If I was a record executive, I'd be throwing you guys a contract, knowing you guys would be hitting the charts.
Well, thank you.
And I want to talk more about you guys being in Nashville and that journey that you took, because we kind of left off with you having Ryan at 18. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, so you grew up in San Dimas, mm-hmm. and. Go to school, everybody has their goals, all that kind of stuff. Was it always your goal to be in music?
I did. As a kid, I did know that I always wanted to sing. I wasn't, you know, I thought I would. As a kid, you don't understand what that really looks like, though, you know, mm-hmm. so you're just like, oh, I want to be Barbara Mandrell when I grow up. And so, and I always loved singing. In hindsight now, I had no idea. You know, right. As a kid, you don't know the business end of that deal, or right. you know the life or all that it entails. I just knew that I loved singing whenever I got that opportunity.
So then we had Ryan,
right?
And then that changed the dynamic a little bit, obviously, right. of where what you were pursuing. Were you pursuing like how did you make that leap to try to get into getting a recording contract or whatever it is that you did? Tell the listeners about from the beginning.
A little bit. I know. Kind of we'll skip around a little bit. Cause
yeah, that's fine.
I always just wanted to keep singing. It never was, even in my 20s and early 30s, it wasn't like I'm pursuing this. It was just, if I'm singing somewhere, I'm happy. I knew I had mm-hmm. to work. I knew I needed to put, you know, food on the table, needed to help the family. Like, there was always work, and then you sang. It's like, it wasn't more that I thought, you know, I'd watch the CMA Awards and be like, well, yeah, I would love that.
Right.
But that would be a magic fairy wand that came and dusted over me one day. I wasn't pursuing, like, maybe I would have been if I had been single in my 20s, you know, doing what other artists maybe do now. That wasn't an option for me. I had, you know, priorities and work and responsibilities and bills to pay. And so whatever I needed to do career-wise to make that happen was always first. So I would sing on the side. I was always in cover bands. And and I grew that I was in a cover band that we were doing all the concerts in the park and, you know, bigger mm-hmm. venue where it was still, those were fun community events. You'd get a couple thousand people out there with their picnic basket and,
yeah.
you know, and we did cover music. So that fulfilled me at the mm-hmm. time. I thought that was just the greatest thing at the time. And it honed some of my stage skills, let me work out some kinks and learn about myself and see some playback and go, ooh, you know, I mean, there was a lot of oohs.
Yeah, we got it. It's kind of like sometimes listen back to the radio and try and be like, wait a minute.
Wow, that wasn't Oopsie. Pretty. Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, you know, yeah. it really definitely right. made me take a look at myself from a different perspective then.
Yeah.
Nashville was almost an accident. I went back there just to visit my parents. They were vacationing and I said, well, I'll come join you. It was a weekend mm-hmm. or something. I flew out to join them and wanted to just see the ground. I just wanted to go as a tourist and ended up deciding that I just fell in love with it and I wanted to go mm-hmm. back and maybe go, wow, what would happen if? Well, what if I just even tried? And I was fascinated by the business end of it at that point. Mm-hmm. It still wasn't like, oh, I want to be down at Tootsie's singing down there. I was really happy meeting in publishing offices and getting pitched music and hearing new music.
Mm-hmm. So you are a businesswoman at heart.
Yes, very much so.
Right.
And then I was sitting and going, what is the business end of this? And really learning mm-hmm. and seeing people that have been in Nashville, like you're saying, with talent beyond belief that aren't on labels. They're the writers or they have a different role in it. And I was very, very interested in the business end of that whole part. And and I've got a great story to share with you if you have time. I have my funny Nashville story.
I want to know all about it.
So I was only in Nashville like 2 weeks and my manager there at the time that was kind of helping introduce me to publishers and things like that just to kind of tap dance around it. I met this woman and she was somebody on Music Row, and to this day I couldn't tell you what her name is. And I've been asked for the last 10 years, everybody asked me if I'm related to Earl Scruggs, the banjo player, you know, who, you know, mm-hmm. the famous, he's,
right,
you know,
right.
the godfather of bluegrass music there. And so everybody always asked me if I'm related to Earl with Scruggs' last name. And so this woman comes up to me and she gets introduced and she says, oh, you must be the Amy Scruggs we've been hearing about. We've heard all about you. It's so great to meet you. And she was as sweet as could be until he turned around. And the minute he turned around and walked away for a second, she goes, who do you think you are coming into this town using that last name? I know Earl, and I know Randy, and I know Chris, and his illegitimate son. So if you think you can ride the coattail of the Scruggs name, you got another thing coming.
Oh,
that was
welcome,
my welcome.
Welcome to Nashville. Down home, country sweet.
And I said, ma'am, my name is Amy Elizabeth Scruggs. I'm from California, and I'm here on my own accord. You have a nice
evening. Oh, good for you.
And from that point forward, every interview, I say no relation, no relation, no relation. Now, my grandfather... who I never met. He passed away years before I was born. Mm-hmm. And Earl Scruggs do look very much alike, and they were from the same parts of, like, Arkansas. Oh. Is it possible they were cousins? Probably. But I don't know. And I just hope now that people are in Nashville asking them, are you related to Amy?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was a pleasant person to deal with.
Ouch.
Yeah, so that was my introduction to Nashville. And here I'm trying to learn the business end. And it was, you know, it was different. I met some wonderful people. Like the guy that did some of my recordings over there that produced with, you know, he wasn't one of the mainstream. It's like he wasn't, you know, producing Keith Urban and Rascal Flatts. Mm. He was an amazing producer, you know, the second level studio, phenomenal mm-hmm. heart. And I loved working with him. And so great. I think for that, I came into a back door that just taught me a little bit differently and kept my perspective in order.
Okay.
See, and I don't know. I think I've been watching that show Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of course. We talk about pop culture. We watch pop culture. So I had to ask you, like, how much of that, you haven't seen it, but I was wondering how much of it's true. I know that Nashville is a very competitive place, and sometimes I'll read about an artist that isn't necessarily country, but they're in Nashville laying down tracks or doing whatever. Right. So there's all kind of music going on there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a very eclectic group over there. It's Music Row for a reason. It's not just country. There's a big misconception with that. Mm-hmm. That
it
is
really
the
is.
Hub of, you know, with the exception of LA, that is the hub of where you see all kinds of albums come out of. Look at the back and of any album in any genre, and you're going to see a good chunk of the time that it's Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow. So you got all the, you know, biggies and that mm-hmm. part. And I was really, not because of the show, but just because of when I've read something, or Christina Aguilera was in Nashville laying down one of her electronic dance songs in Nashville. I'm like, what's she doing in Nashville doing that? But I didn't understand that it's much more far-reaching than just country.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Although, obviously, emphasis on country. But there's the talented producers and the people. What goes into making a song, would you say? Like, well, what goes into making a song good? Do you write at all?
I don't. Thankfully, Ryan reached a point in the last couple of years that it had to come out of him. He's amazing. I'm like, where'd this come from?
I get asked this question a lot. A lot of people think, oh, you come up with lyrics and you add music. Actually, I don't. I like to do a little thing called noodling, and that is me sitting on the couch just playing my guitar. Mm. And I come up with something I like, and once I do, I take out my phone, have that little voice memo thing, mm-hmm. record it. And I sit on it for days and days, go, all right, what do I add? What do I add? What do mm-hmm. I add? What do I want to sing about? What am I feeling? You know, and lyrics come. You think about it. And then I start. So now I got lyrics. I got the tune in my head, and I know how it flows. And then from there, you just structure it. All right, what part of the lyrics is going to be your pre-chorus? What part is going to be your chorus? What do you want the hook to be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is the hook the most important part of the
definitely,
song?
Absolutely. Definitely. The hook is right? what gets people to hear the song. How many times do you hear a song and it starts off and you go, skip it, I don't like it. The hook is what brings it in.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to have to forgive me because I'm very much entrenched in pop music. So I'm very open to – I love you guys. Tremendously, and I just find you to be just amazing talents, but I'm always so interested in the back part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, how do the songs come about? How does the songwriter do that? Well, how do you lay the music down to the words? Do the words come first, or does the music come first? Like you're saying about the noodling. Yeah.
Right. So for me, definitely, the music comes first. You know, I love my guitar, so mm-hmm. I play, and you just come with chords, or you come up with that one little lick that just mm-hmm. makes you go, whoa.
Right.
You know, and then from there, like I said, the lyrics come in. Mm-hmm. And one of the songs that you guys heard Sunday night, I Am a Soldier, mm-hmm. That one came because we kept on doing Yellow Ribbon events. And I realized, you know, we were doing Coming Homeward, and that's about, you know, the man soldier. And I was like, there's not a song for a female. Like,
that's so awesome. It's so fantastic.
Ryan, yeah. Ding, ding. We applaud you. Yes. Living your authentic life. Exactly. We got to remember the troops are male and female, putting their lives on the line for us.
Have to be as much, they have to do everything the male soldier has to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's no differentiation. Yeah. And so when he brought that to me, I was blown away. I had no idea he was even writing it. I went, oh, my gosh. So, you know, when I was first in Nashville and looking, I was, you know, sitting in front of songwriters and publishers who were pitching me. I mean, I listened to probably thousands of songs in Nashville, and you go, yes, no, yes, no. You listen to, you know, mm-hmm. half a minute of it, no, no, no. Never dreaming that, you know, I mean, he was a young teenager at the time, that he just had to finish growing up, and I don't need to look for songs anymore.
That's so cool. That's
it's
cool.
So now some of the music I've done and what you even saw on my show was a few of the songs that I did take from Nashville that I'm still proud of, that I love. I think they're just fun songs. A couple of the covers, like you said, that we love doing, and then now adding his original music. So what you saw Sunday night was, I think, the last it was the last years built up to, okay, this is our favorites, this is what we want to project.
And that's a great set.
That's fantastic.
It's a great set. When you have you written music at all, Angie?
I have. You know, and it's so interesting. A couple of songs. I wrote one and I co-wrote another. And they're typically inspired, like you guys. I have a friend who sadly passed away of breast cancer a year ago, but we had several benefits for her over four-year journey with breast cancer. And at our last benefit, I co-wrote a song on her behalf and she was there. And oh, I know, I'm goosebumping and sad
and all at the same time. There's plenty of songs that I've written that, you know, we don't even do on stage, and they get emotional. They get, you know, they get very hard sometimes to sing, you know?
Yeah.
So
what about you? Is there a song that you find that just hits you too much to sing, or can you get through?
We have one that I do, and I didn't do it in my show. There's a song that and he didn't write it. It's actually one that I got in Nashville called "The Me I'm Meant to Be," and it's a hard one for me. I love it, and we do it live sometimes. It's a slower song, so it didn't fit in the show that we did on Sunday. But it's what I call my personal song, and I do have a recording of it up on my website where you can hear it. And we could do it today. You know,
nice.
So go to amyscruggs.com.
Yes, amyscruggs.com. But yeah, there's always those few that you go, okay, this one's going to hurt. This one's hard to sing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, interesting. Because I don't know. I'm an emotional kind of guy. We got to take a break. And we were with the wonderful Amy Scruggs. Her son Ryan's here, as well as her other bandmate, Aaron. So stay tuned, folks, because they're going to be performing live. They're going to knock your socks off. But we're going to have to hold off on that because we want to get more info from them first. We'll be back in a minute. Big Daddy Radio is back, and here we are on ESPN 1700 AM every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. You know, they say you never know what I'm going to say next, but I think I do. Although sometimes, actually, I don't. Sometimes it just comes out. I can't help it. That makes the show even that much more fun, I think. But we're here with the beautiful Dr. Angela Moskowitz and the very talented and beautiful Amy Scruggs. I want you to go to amyscruggs.com, and you can learn more about her. You can also listen to last week's show on bigdaddyradio.com if you missed it. She's saying live on the show. They're going to sing live today. If you missed the Wounded Warrior Benefit concert on Sunday night, that's okay. Shame on you. But
no, hopefully they'll do it again.
I mean, there will be other times, but we really want people to get behind Wounded Warriors and the troops. That's a big part of something that we feel is important in this show. They're way, way, way too overlooked. But we were talking before the break about music and about how music touches the heart for many people. Music helps you get. You know what I always find interesting? And thank God I'm not going through this, and hope to God I don't have to go through this. But past breakups or whatever, you know how you'll put on whatever, the Carpenters, who knows? Whatever. For some reason, that just came to my mind. Someone's like, where did this dude come from?
Or something hardcore, whatever, but you're belting it.
Yeah, sad ones.
Yes, Alanis Morissette for us ladies.
For the ladies. I don't know.
But you know, but it's good, and it's in our rank because we're in the
same pill. Bitter pill. Jagged pill, little pill.
Oh,
bitter
man.
Pill. Mad pill.
I know every word
to
every
you do
song.
This to me, pill.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than a breakup, is there, folks?
Sorry, the one who opened that door.
Well,
we ran right through
worse.
It.
It's just a stinky thing. It's like, ugh. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you hear about somebody breaking up and it kind of rattles everybody around you. I don't know if you've had that with your core group of friends. And then there's someone that you think is like the pillar of the relationship. Then the next thing you know, those two are breaking up. And then everybody
it has a ripple effect.
Oh my gosh, it does.
And then you're deciding. Yeah. And then you have feel like...
Where's the allegiance?
Where's the allegiance? Yeah. That's a whole different show.
It's so hard.
My goodness. I do want to ask you about recording contracts. We talked about Nashville. We know that Nashville is a hub for music in general, not just country. Obviously, primarily country, but there's all kinds of talented producers.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of people. Brittany, there's all those girls have laid tracks down in Nashville at one time or another, from what I've read or seen, at least one or two. So that's more based on the fact that the people that actually wrote the song or is produced. Explain to me the differences so I know.
That would be on the their producer and their label. Like, so whatever label they were on or who was producing them, where the producers were. So if they chose a producer in Nashville, that's where they're going to be. And to touch on some of that too, let's say that I had had a producer. Let's say I had a producer say, we want to produce you. We've got a label looking at you. They also have this stockpile of favors that they need to take to. And if you're a new artist at the time, let's say when I was 30, which I still am.
Yes, you are.
That I was there, they might say, all right, yeah, we're willing to put our money into producing you. Keep in mind, everything they put into you, then you owe back.
That's right.
Okay, right,
so,
right. So I wanted to know.
So you owe that. So anything they're saying, we want to help you, we want to do this, we're going to get you out there. They're going to look at who else they have on the label. So at the time, let's say, I you know, when I was in Nashville, it was right before Carrie Underwood was on the scene. I would have been right in line with her. So label's going to look, well, we already have a Carrie. She kind of is like that. You could end up getting shelved because of timing on when to release an artist. You still owe that money back. They may say, I may say, look, my son wrote this awesome song and we love this and we do this all for the troops. So, well, that's a great song, yes, but I have a favor with this guy because, you know, we golfed last week and I promised him and his daughter wrote this song and we promised that the next artist we signed was going to have that song cut. And the next thing you know, your hair is cut the way they tell you to. You're cutting the songs they want you to cut. And I'm not saying that it doesn't have success for some people, some artists, but if you don't have the business and the understanding to stand up and say, no, I'm not willing to do it this way or this way, then you're going to get put into a box that they want you to be in based on what's going to make them money.
Right.
And I had it, someone in Nashville told me once, and it resonated with me. This was like in 04. He even said, I've never met a happy artist.
Interesting.
And I never wanted to be that girl.
Right.
Right.
What you saw on stage was a happy artist.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that
was my show, and nobody told me, nobody told us which songs to sing, how to do it, or anything. There's a joy still in what we're doing because we chose to always stay independent.
That's wonderful.
So,
good for you.
There's the reason. So, I mean, because otherwise I think you definitely are, you know, major label potential, major label sign. I mean, I would just, I can see it. And that makes sense with the whole Carrie Underwood thing, because I could see some parallels. But
those are the complicated dynamics of the business end
of this.
You know,
so my time in
music is a business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, I think some people miss that point. Music, and it's a tough business. Just like having a talk show or getting into acting or whatever you want. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, they're going to tell you, you got to be compliant unless you become a real breakout kind of a person. I know that when you read some of these other artists, maybe like Gaga starting out, and you can read on the blog, like, I'm an artist, I'm going to do it this way, and my label's holding me back. And you've seen Michael Jackson when he was alive. He had that big litigation against Sony, or Prince, one of them, but for what you're talking about, because they wanted to shape these individuals into the artists that they wanted.
Absolutely.
They wanted them to release this. Here's going to be your first single. Not maybe what you think was
going
to be
it. And it's shaped based on what else is going on in the music industry. You know, oh, shoot, somebody else has another song out right now called Coming Home or I'm a Soldier. Well, scrap that. We need to know. You're cute. We need you doing this. Or we want to, you know, promote maybe the mom aspect of you. So write songs all about kids. I mean, they will do that depending on where they see a loophole that they need to make money in. Because if they have even somebody else just like me that's doing a song even similar, so then boom, you're scrapped. You're shelved. You still owe the money back.
That's crazy.
You know, then they're putting you on the bad tour, on the bad bus, and doing the bars, and they've got you out there saying, well, we're going to get your song, and then you lose the joy. And I'm so grateful that I never lost the joy.
Right. That's I get it. I mean, that makes, I think that really gives people that are listening some good perspective, because I think people think it's a little different. I think they think the artist is in charge.
No.
I think the label is in charge, or whoever the A&E people or
they
whatever
are, it's
they're
their
called.
Money.
That's right.
So I loved that I stayed in charge, even though, you know, it was more expensive or we had to not do a lot of certain things. And but I would rather be tough in business, be tough during the day, handle my business like a business.
Right.
And then have this.
And
because I was
passion.
Able to give back better. I, I was more passionate about performing for the troops, more passionate about doing the songs you're doing because it took the stress off of it.
Right. So you, if you lay down, say, so I'm an A&E guy and I come to you and say, okay, Amy, here, come on in. I want you to record these songs. You do all the recording and then I say, oops, sorry. You know, Carrie Underwood just won American Idol. She's going to be on our label. You guys are too similar. We don't have a marketplace for the both of you.
Right.
So we're going to put all our money into her. You literally have to pay back for, like, all that studio time, all the marketing,
yep.
anything they paid out
They'll
on your
still
behalf.
Put you out there, like, on a secondary tour, or they'll throw mm-hmm. you on a European tour or something to make. They'll make their money back somehow, putting you somewhere, but never what you thought you were going to be doing.
Right.
And,
so you're selling yourself, basically selling your soul to the devil.
Absolutely.
At some point.
No different than, yes, the, you know, you got American Idol, you got the, and great shows, and great mm-hmm. job to these kids that go on and do it and put their heart out there. But if they do get it and they get that one of those contracts, they still owe that back. It's
wow.
the small few that go, like Carrie. She went beyond that mm-hmm. and became Carrie. She is an exception to the rule.
She's mm-hmm. a big exception.
A big exception to the rule. And she had mm-hmm. obviously great business counsel and enough alongside it to make that happen.
Right. Because truly on those shows, you don't mm-hmm. see the very many of them becoming big artists. Kelly
That's
Clarkson,
right.
well, I would say, was one.
Absolutely.
There was an exception.
Mm-hmm. Exception to the rule.
Help me out here. Carrie Underwood would right. be one that was an exception.
Chris Daughtry did good for a while.
He did.
Did
yeah.
good for a while. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not all, you know,
Adam
rainbows
Lambert.
And
Sorry.
Butterflies.
I love my
yeah.
Adam.
You know, Adam Lambert, I think they gave him that opportunity yeah. to really showcase when he opened that one show after he had won mm-hmm. American Idol. And I don't think that probably the masses were probably ready to see two men doing whatever was happening on stage.
Oh my gosh, that's right. What was it, the American Music Awards
yeah,
or something
yeah.
like that?
I mean, it was very disappointing. I just felt like how unfortunate that was the case. But now someone's going to hear this, and now here we go. Now I'll get an email about it. Like, well, what about you? Blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm all about perspective, folks. Uh-huh.
I know, but that was his first. Right. Sorry, I'm a little bit of I'm a fan. I love him. And I think it was his first time out the gate, and he was trying to talk about being authentic. And, you know, maybe, yes, he went a little bit further than what general society was willing to
tolerate.
Thank you. But he regrouped. He learned very quickly. And, I mean, I've been to some of his concerts. Have you seen him? He's fantastic.
Anyone seen him?
No.
He's a fantastic talent.
Didn't he just come out with, like, a new song?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's got like three or four albums out.
He's
doing fine.
Albums, but he has some
and wasn't
one.
It Boston? Didn't he? Or was it Boston or Queen? Queen. He actually
yeah.
sat in for a year, I think,
yeah.
until they found someone. So he's doing
wow.
all right.
So,
anyway,
you know,
but
yeah, but those are
things.
Exceptions
so
where
they
then
are.
He was pressing through. And,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just one of those things. I feel like it's such a cool thing if you mm-hmm. actually make it, but there's such sacrifice that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
more than
and compromise
than people can ever imagine.
And you'll see the people that will write back, or they'll have, you know, this internet has given people way too much power. there should be some lockdown that, like, if you're going to be negative, there's no way you can be anonymous. Attach your name to what you're going to say or don't say it.
What are you thinking of when you say that? Did you see?
I just forgot.
Okay.
What were we talking about right before it? I'm glad you asked me, though, because I had a definite, I'm being honest, I had a definite, there was thing.
We're talking about the internet and negative viewpoints and anonymity.
Yeah, and or like how the Adam Lambert thing totally exploded and,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah.
people go crazy and, you know,
yeah,
people's
yeah.
tolerance levels change. But it's like the power of the media is enough that can
mm-hmm.
rip you down just as much as,
sure.
I mean, media is so much hype. We got our government shut down at the moment. I mean, people need to understand that's
mm-hmm.
not a minor detail going on right now.
Right.
But we choose to focus on mm-hmm. the fun today and, you know,
yes,
just
yes.
hope that the government gets the balance, the budget balance, or whatever your views are, because then it starts getting political. And
sure.
I don't want to get
like
into that. But I did. There was a point. As soon as I went to that anonymous, I hate the bullying. It goes back to all our anti-bullying stuff. We're very much on this show not about bullying.
Yeah.
We have taken a strong stance about that. There's a lot of kids that have committed suicide
yep.
because
mm-hmm.
of being bullied. Not understanding possibly their sexual orientation, maybe their
depressed,
not,
learning
right,
disorder, whatever.
Right, not getting proper coping
not
skills,
feeling accepted.
Whatever it is. Yeah, it's
yeah.
really, really sad. So it's one of those things where with people. It's, you've got it when you talk about living your authentic life. You've got to be able to be real. You've got to be able to not just people please. And I think before, I would have found, I've always been really an honest guy, but I would find myself wanting to people please. I've really stepped out of that role, and I felt like if people don't accept or like me for what it is or what I do, then more power to them. Goodbye. And that's a hard thing to learn as you get older. I mean, you got to go through a process.
Learning how
to
say no.
I think when you're in a stage presence where you're a musician, I mean, that's something you've got to deal with. You got to be able to take the good and the bad, you know, when you're doing it. But I mean, when you're out there and you guys were out doing concerts in the park and promoting yourself, I mean, how do you ever get people writing reviews on what you're doing, or is it more?
No, I never, I mean, if there were, I didn't see them. We were so, most of what we did, especially the last 5-6 years, most of what we did was like without press and people following us. There wasn't cameras following us. We were at a coming home or deployment, like you said, the yellow ribbon. You know, every once in a while we had some nice little press clippings. If we were doing the bigger shows, we would get in the paper and things like that. But I was never promoting it in a way that I was looking for feedback. I was always moving forward. Okay, well, what's tomorrow? And I got to take care of the kids. And what's going, you know, what's going on tomorrow? And it doesn't. And it was just a little bit of a different journey.
So when you have Ryan or any of your other kids musically inclined,
the two, it's
now we talked about your daughter.
Yeah, my daughter, yes, and she's got that energy.
Hang out with Taylor Swift.
Right, she was, we were doing Taylor Swift, and it's interesting. I think what really resonated for me, and it was about a year ago, that I was talking with Ryan's brothers, they're teenagers, and we were discussing when we were doing it full time and we were out doing our thing, and they said, "Oh yeah, you want to know what I remember, Mom? I remember." Hungry, cold, waiting for Mom. Everybody wants to talk to Mom. Oh, you know, this show and this show. Yes, that was great. We were hungry, tired, waiting for Mom.
Interesting.
And because they would be with us with so much, and their perspective was, okay, there's this line of people now. They want to take Mom's picture. They want to talk to Mom, you know, Mom and Ryan. And I think they really definitely felt that. They don't see it as a positive.
Right.
The youngest one, he still goes, Mom, I'm always so proud of what you did with the troops. He was impacted with that. The middle one. You know, I've got 4 kids that all had needs and priority. My son was phenomenal, and he was getting better by the day. And what he's writing is getting great. I've got the 2 middle ones that wasn't as a pleasant experience for them. And then at the time, my daughter's like, "Can I just go to first grade and be normal?" So it was, you know,
she might need to go to school. She's running out of school.
I'd like to go to school, please. I'm really about my education. So if we could work this in, that'd be awesome. So it was interesting now to just go, okay, they have to be normal. What is the sacrifice at the end?
Interesting. Well, you're a good mom, so obviously that's the case. And you are a businesswoman here in San Diego as well, which we've not talked about. But do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. Why?
Let's talk about what you do.
Okay.
Wait, go ahead and tell us.
I am business development manager for the lender. Can I say the lender?
Yeah,
with
absolutely.
New American Funding here in San Diego. We've got 2 branches and wonderful officers. I get to be the face for the company. I joke now. I stood up at a meeting last week, and so I get to be a professional encourager. I get to say, "How you guys doing? What's going on in your business? Who do you need to meet? Let's get out there. Let's help come up with some new ideas of getting you guys connected." And I love taking my connections and a little bit of people know who I am as an artist has helped pull that in. But I've got the relationships out there with phenomenal people that are connected in our real estate and lending community, and getting to pull that in with my teammates makes me a professional encourager.
So you're doing that, and then you're doing your music.
Yes.
And
oh, I love the golf. And you talk about your great golf group. Were you there?
Oh, did you love that?
Oh, I love that.
We will talk about the golf group when we come back.
All right.
When we come back from break, we're going to come back, and you're going to hear the fabulous Amy Scruggs and her band. We'll be
back.
Thank
you.
Produced Amy Scruggs and her band playing a very personal song just for our audience. He is a hustler, he's no good at all.
I spend most of my life in the shadow of myself, running from the light. I never needed anybody else's help. my way or the highway led to the point of no return. I stood choking on the smoke of the bridges that I burned. By the grace of God, somehow I finally learned. There's a gate in the fence, and there's a window in the wall. There's a strength in reaching for a hand if ever I should fall. There's forgiveness in this heart through a door that I've unlocked inside of me. I'm starting to become the me I'm meant to be. Instead of wasting every breath, I'm learning how to breathe, getting closer every step. No fire and brimstone, strange epiphany, just the weight of my mistakes, heavy on my soul, getting lighter with each day as I give up control of the half of me that fights my being whole. There's a gate in the fence, and there's a window in the wall. There's a strength in reaching for a hand if ever I should fall. There's forgiveness in this heart through a door that I've unlocked inside. I'm starting to become the me I'm meant to be. Yeah. What will the new me say when I look back and see me standing here today? There's a gate in the fence, and there's a window in the wall. Salvation is taller than I ever have before, and the mirror finally likes this face I see. Yeah, I'm starting to become. Yeah, I'm starting to become the me I'm meant to be.
That was beautiful. Yay. Folks, we have to take another break, beautiful. But we'll be back. Aww. That was gorgeous. We'll be right back, folks. Hang tight.
Love it.
Oh, baby, baby. Now you're back on Big Daddy Radio with me singing. Watch out. Oh, folks. My goodness. Amy Scruggs. Just
that was gorgeous,
that was
wasn't it?
Amazing. Oh, baby, baby. I'm the only one with the headphones.
You're right up
so
there
I
with
hear,
Amy.
I can hear it. See,
yikes.
Amy, I've got to go to Vocal Coach. I've got to get
honey.
A talk show, music deal.
But you're
come
such
on.
A good talk
but
show.
But I'm a realtor. But I, you know, I would love to just, my goodness. Anyways, I got to tell you that song was very moving. And
yeah.
Very moving for Amy. Very moving for everybody that's here. And it's a song that is obviously something that's very near and dear to your heart. I don't want to, we don't have to talk about it anymore. But I know it really hit. And
yeah.
So for those of you that are listening, you were privileged to hear that because she does not sing that song very
mm-mm.
often. It's like the second or third time she sang that song. So on Big Daddy Radio, we have a
you heard it here.
Occasion. All right. We had Ryan rocking out. He just flawless on the guitar. I mean, the things that you guys do collectively is amazing. And you've really changed my opinion in terms of country music.
Oh, well, thank you. Wow. I mean,
you have. It's not something I would actually really ever have stopped to listen to, and I or I had pre well the crossover stuff. You can't help it because they kind of that's going to be thrown on you. But I mean, I really on Sunday night I was like, I loved every part of that show that you did.
Well, thank you.
You know, and then there you are again supporting the troops in Wounded Warrior Homes, which I'm going to beat that into the ground. We need people to get behind Wounded Warrior Homes. Figure out whatever you can donate; they would appreciate. I mean, it's an ongoing deal.
$10 a month to help, anything. Keep ongoing support so they can keep these guys housed, fed, cared for, and then make room for new ones to come through.
Right. And we have Patrick Clark and Brian Daly from REIG Asset Management who opened the doors to Wounded Warriors. They're really good guys. And we have Amy Scruggs that we were introduced to by Tim Garland. Thank goodness. I mean, just really has made a big impact. And, you know, today's show is a lot about the music business. And I think there's a lot of daydreamers that want to be entertainers. And there's a lot of daydreamers that think it's all glitz and glory. And they don't understand that it's a business. And it is a business. And it's a business that costs a heck of a lot of money if you're not picked the chosen few out of there. Mm-hmm. And I think you've really enlightened people as to that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Blood, sweat, and tears that go into it. And you talked about last time following around in your Suburban.
Yeah, and you know, for an example too, you know, we had Bobby Chitwood performing with us on Sunday night, and you know, he's on a label and he's out there doing it, and his label's getting him out there. But his bus broke down twice trying to get to our show Sunday.
Isn't
he was
crazy.
Up all night. He was stuck on the side of the road outside of Vegas. He was exhausted. He had his family with him. They were tired. There was a big, tough day for him. My heart went out to him.
And
people don't realize, and he's on the
around.
Label, but that was his brunt to bear. Mm-hmm. They had to go pick up and get his band members down there, the equipment. The guy had a really tough day and still put on a great show. And then he had to get back on the road, and he's got more shows going on this week. And that's hard. It's hard on him and his family. I was happy to get to come home and be in my bed and be here with you guys today and back to work. And we got another great show coming up in November we can be excited about, but I don't have to go through that to get there.
Right.
And I'm thankful.
When is your next show in November? Do you know?
November 11th on Veterans Day up in the city of San Dimas, my hometown, is bringing us back for a wonderful event.
Coming home, literally.
Yes, that's what they're bringing us home.
All right, so she's doing it. She's definitely doing it. What is your take on all these music shows that they have now?
It's too many. It's too, because the problem, like you said, it's giving that image to all of these young kids. You know, I look at my children, look at my daughter who sees it. Well, you know, you can just go on the show and you're it and you're a star. And that wasn't, when we were kids, that wasn't presented.
No.
The only thing we ever had was Star Search. Remember that? So there was nothing that you,
you're
there's
younger
so
than me.
Much now that I think it's making kids, making it unrealistic or they're not getting educated then, like we're talking about with the music business and what really goes on behind it. Doesn't mean don't go do it or don't enjoy those shows, but there's too much of it. And I think it's giving a false understanding of what it really would take and what that's like. And these kids, and they step in and their lives are crushed sometimes.
I hate watching those shows when the kids run out of there screaming in tears. It breaks my heart. And I'm talking about the ones that actually are almost maybe borderline really good, but they get cut.
Right.
And I mean, I'm not talking about the people that they put on there as characters.
Right.
That's
you know,
nonsense.
And I haven't seen it in a while, but what used to bother me, obviously, as a mental health professional, is how they would sensationalize psychopathology. I mean, people that were ill, people who weren't well, really emotionally fragile. Mm-hmm. And that used to disturb me. Mm-hmm. And it made a great show.
But it is disturbing. I agree with you.
15 million viewers.
Right.
I don't like my kids watching it.
Oh, my gosh.
That is disturbing. I hate the beginning part with all the knots. People think that's so...
That's the American Idol.
I just don't think it's funny. I don't know. I find it to be boring. I like when you get down to the neat part of it.
Where there's some actual talent.
There's talent. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
But
the hardest part about those shows is the fact that they are fan-based. Like, you know, you can have someone who's really good, but then, you know, they get kicked off because, they're not popular, you know.
You're absolutely right.
It's all fan.
Well, Daughtry didn't win. Adam Lambert didn't win.
Jennifer Hudson didn't win.
Mandisa's wonderful. She's doing well.
Daughtry didn't win, but look how popular he is.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And like Jennifer Hudson, Academy Award winner.
Oh my gosh.
Phenomenal singer.
Right.
She only made it to like six or fifth.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's a lot of, I know they're trying to restructure. My guess is American Idol's probably getting to be close to on its last legs. I could be off. I don't know. But now they're trying to restructure it. I see they're going to bring Harry Connick Jr. on as a judge. I happen to think is a phenomenal talent.
He's an incredible talent. I'm a huge fan of Harry Connick.
As a musician and a composer
and arranger, the guy is a genius.
And his personality. And it's the phenomenal. Whole thing. He's just
and he's hysterical. Yeah.
So, I mean, he's somebody I recommend. If you've not seen him live, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. There, Jennifer Lopez is coming back. I'm sorry, Mariah Carey was a big dud. That was a waste of $20 million. Think about that.
$20 million.
Like, it's hard to wrap your head around.
You know how many warriors could have been housed for that?
I mean, That's right. You could have had your label. Okay, so, and we had with X Factor coming on now. A lot of people don't know who Paulina Rubio is.
No.
I only had just because the previous friend of mine was from Mexico, and she's very big over in Mexico, and I just found that show to be even a COVID call thing. But thank you, Amy Scruggs, for coming back this week, shedding light on the music industry, giving us blood, sweat, and tears, and singing that very personal song that was very emotional for all of us here and you. Thank you, Ryan, for being here. Aaron, Siobhan, thank you for putting together all that stuff in the back that goes on that nobody sees, because
it's critical.
The key people
critical
that person. Put it together. That's right.
You know, and my host, Angela Moskowitz, who we always appreciate being here. Folks, we will be back next week. Next week's show, you need to tune in, because we certainly do have a character who has written a book. His philosophy is that every American should get a paycheck, and that is whether they're working or not. That's how I understand it. So next week, XOXO. Until then, thank you, Amy Scruggs.
Thank you so much.
See you soon.